we're not talking about New Year's resolutions or setting goals. We're covering three trends that we think need to die in 2025. Welcome to our first episode of the year. This is not going to be a typical first episode of the year. We're not talking about New Year's resolutions or setting goals. Today, we're going to talk about trends that need to die in 2025.
Do, do, do.
Yes, because, you know, they do. So we're going to talk about three. We're covering three trends that we think need to die in 2025. We're not alone in this, I'm sure.
I love it. Yeah. So, well, the first one, and not in any particular order, right?
Yeah.
FYI, skincare disasters that have happened. So we were going to just talk about those hacks that skincare has been out there. Again, a lot of people are trying to do their own thing at home and they're using social media avenues to help improve. And the results are not always the best, or it can be damaging and leading to costly things. And then you're having to explain to your client, I'm sorry, you did what exactly? So One example that was on there was the lemon juice on acne. So many people were using lemon juice directly as a DIY remedy for their acne because of the acidity behind it, and supposedly going to clear your pores. However, if you know ingredients, you know that lemon juice can irritate the skin and actually make acne worse. So all of a sudden there's this moment of where, oh, it seems to be working. And then all of a sudden it changes that opposite way and it becomes dry and inflamed. And actually, because it's the acidity level, we're talking pH of the skin, you're going to alter the pH of the skin and probably damage the barrier of the skin. So, you know, that insensitivity can lead to so much more, as you know, as a professional out there listening. But how do you explain this to your clients? So this is one that we have on the list. It's just an example of what we saw in the trends.
And there's others. There's one that's like a garlic clove acne hack as well. So I think that your clients are going to be on social media. They're going to be watching these trends. You don't have to know all the trends, yes, but just kind of like debunking the trends.
Yeah, be prepared to debunk them, I guess.
Be prepared to debunk them. But I mean, I think these trends, you know, they need to die. But how do we do that, right? Like, maybe we fight it back with posting some more stuff about what you actually should do. Share your treatments, people.
Like on that one, if you're looking at clearing pores or clearing acne, what do you do? So you're not really debunking as, let's say, lemon juice, don't ever do this. It's more, well, what can you do? What do you do? Because they might lead into, oh, that's probably better for my skin because it will not change the barrier of my skin. I don't have to worry about pH changes. I don't have, like, you know what I mean? So if you bring it to that example, like the one that was really big was actually the baking soda exfoliation. I was like, oh my goodness, what are people doing out there? So abrasive and balancing to the pH. But again, so, you know, we just went over the peel season, right? So in the summer, still in it. So maybe you're bringing that up, but then try to find the proper way of saying, okay, so this and this will do this, repair this. So giving them their why behind it without, we still want it to die. Oh, yeah. What about the DIY chemical peels people are doing out there on popular TikTok? Yeah. Oh my God. Tempting home care peels? Vinegar, peroxide, like you name it, the amount of damage that people are doing to their skin because they're just following some person, like they have no training.
Yeah.
Nothing. There was one that I saw this, like, I think I might've brought that up in another podcast, that every day of the week they have, this is what you should be doing for glowing skin. And retinol was on there like four times, glycolic was on there three. It's like, what are you doing? Even if it's minimal, I guess, but people aren't telling you, this is maybe what you could say to clients. And I've done this person where someone has asked me, oh, Suzanne, what do you think of this? I saw you should do this three times a week and that three times a week and that, you know, so I have something every day of the week. It's like, okay, hang on a second. On there, they don't discuss skin type, conditions, age, where are they biologically at in their aging? Because that matters on their skin too. Is this a 16-year-old? Is this a 7-year-old? Is this like what? So sometimes just sitting back, don't freak out. I tend to do that. Oh my God, you're watching what? Referencing where? But look at it and help them understand what they should be looking at. So out of those 7 things in a week, I think you could focus on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday's regime. You know, like help them understand what will work for them. Don't take away the why, because they want it.
Yeah. So I think education, right? We talk a lot about that. Always. And that's why you should be doing it while you're, you know, explaining your treatment and stuff like that. Because whether or not your client tells you that they're watching these DIY skincare hacks, they are. They might not tell you. But if you're feeding that correct information, then it kind of helps to counteract all those.
Like help them define their skincare routine.
Yeah.
And then with your ingredients that you're learned as a professional is, you know, that scientific backup that you have learned. Like if you're a lash tech and you're telling them this serum is good for their lashes and their brows, why is it good? Like help remind them of that. It's not just skincare. It could be nails. It could be after waxing. It could be like, there's so many factors to it, and just help them understand again. It's not just about skincare, right? But discuss
exactly
why the DIY skin treatments sometimes should be avoided without the professional. Yes, I would love to help you do this, because then you become their reference check. They come to you and say, like how someone said to me, it's like, Suzanne, what do you think of this? So they come to me, and that's, yes, it takes time out of your day or that appointment or that email or that text, but they're your client. Like, and that's something I think you should be willing to take on, because that means that's huge. You've built a very trusting rapport that they come to you and check in with you before they even attempt it.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So our number 2, and again, not in any particular order, we have overdone enhancements.
Yeah.
This is starting already. Like I've seen a lot of stuff about, you know, the new celebrity faces that are not very filled with filler. But yeah, there's actual, you know, reasons why other than like an aesthetic part of it, like other than the beauty part.
Well, I think first off is that helping your clients understand in a very sensitive, empathetic way, they see themselves every day. So they don't witness the changes that are happening to their face. It's a very slow process. Sometimes it really does change their symmetry of their face. Like if you look at, like you said, some of those actors or musicians, whoever they may be, if you Google a picture of them from 5 years ago to today, some of them look very different. It's like, wow, you think they had a facelift, but they haven't. Mm-hmm. They haven't gone that drastic. That's just been all the fillers and Botox they've been doing. And this is what's coming out now. Even plastic surgeons and dermatologists are now coming out on TikTok and Instagram and that type of thing, debunking all that, saying, hey, listen, this is what's happening to people's faces. Like you got to stop doing this. When they say it dissolves, this isn't my words, this is theirs. They're showing their scans that they're doing, saying it's still in your skin. It doesn't dissolve, which is like, wait a minute, but that's what they're saying it does. They don't dissolve in what we think it means to dissolve. They dissolve in an aspect of a medical way, right? And what us regular folk, I'll say, sometimes don't realize what that means. So maybe some of them do, but I would just figure out like, maybe there's something they can do to help see that. But really what happens is, if you think of a balloon and elasticity of the skin, like a balloon, it's tight and taut, and now you're filling that in areas that wasn't done before. The elasticity is changing, the texture of the skin changes, and then it's slowly going back to its natural state. Each time you put something in it, do you not need to put more in it? The balloon needs more air each and every time. So can you see how the face symmetry could change with it as well, right? So I think that's another side of it that people have to look at. And a lot of people don't know that this is what's happening. And why is that? Because it's so new.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear the latest of what they're saying now? The younger moms that are doing, especially the Botox side, psychiatrists and psychologists are actually recommending that you don't do it because you're not showing any emotions. They don't be happy, sad, and mad. And that's part of their learning as the little ones. I was like, wow. That's
interesting.
Very interesting. So they don't have the emotional connection anymore.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
That's the learning thing, right? So that's why I said I'm kind of a geek when it comes to learning. I think that's amazing. I was like, what? Of course that makes sense. But I never thought about it, right? But yeah, that overdoing of things is leading into a little more artificial, I think. But of course it would, because, you know, you want more and more, you know, like, and you're ready for more. I mean, I even did it with my brows. I said, I just start with something really light and natural. It's like, oh, you know, I think I want a little bit more, but stop me before it gets too much. Tell me honestly, you know, like, because you get used to it. I think that's part of our natural being, right? So I don't know, but the biggest thing is that the skin is going to stretch. So in order to, especially to hold the filler, they're going to have to do more.
I think too, like I think there's a new trend towards more natural beauty.
It is going that way for
2025.
We called that out at the beginning of, I think at the end of 2023, the future acts or trends coming, I think was asked about that. And they talked about it then. Like I know some people are taking lashes. The lash techs are telling us that they're removing their lashes. I don't have as many lash anymore. Because you're going to that more natural way. So maybe you introduce a lash lift. And there's another way to learn something new and bring something. So you can do both. You can enhance or you can just softly enhance on that natural aspect of it, right? Yeah. Education, I think, like you said, is huge. And, you know, I was speaking to someone because they didn't quite believe me when I said, well, their faces do change. And I pulled up, I was a musician. I said, well, look at her. I thought was the most beautiful young person when she first came out. Now look at her. Mm-hmm. And then they're looking going, oh my God, you're right. But you see her so often, you're not really seeing the subtle changes. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to judge anyone. I just said, but it does change your face. Look, I just had to show the before over the years to where they are now.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you're right. That's not an aging thing. That's all fillers and Botox. That's what that is.
For sure.
That's not.
I think education also leads us into our third point, which is fear-mongering over ingredients that are labeled as bad, but also the flip side of that is overhyping miracle ingredients. But it's not that simple. I mean, I'm not a chemist, but it has something to do with chemistry.
Exactly.
I use this example, I think, when we were talking about this, and I remember taking like an iron supplement and then learning a while ago that actually, you know, I should be taking an iron supplement and then like something with like citrus, right?
Yeah.
So that it helps absorb the iron better. But it's the same thing with like turmeric. You're supposed to eat it with black pepper so that it helps you absorb. So all these things work really all natural. They all work really well, but they work better together. And I think we forget that about skincare ingredients. It's just not simple. If it was simple, we'd all be making skincare, but there's a lot to ingredients that work well together. But I also think there's so much. I watched this reel the other day and it was like kind of making fun of this, like everything is bad for you. So you're left with like, what the hell am I supposed to do? Because that's how it feels sometimes. Don't do this. Don't do that. And there's like, then what are you supposed to do? The one says this miracle ingredient is great, but another person says, no, it does. And it's just like, it's too much. There's too much information.
Well, and I think we take it to an extreme, right? It's like when you say an easy one, I'm just going to pick on is fragrance free. Mm-hmm. What does that mean, fragrance free? Especially when dealing with any of our products, of all of it. Yeah. So not always is it a chemical bad thing or natural bad thing. It can be artificial scents. Right. And I understand that. But at the same time, I need fragrance free, chemical free product. Those are bold statements because, you know, one thing, like in the facial technician course, it came up in the conversation. It's like, well, if you are, I'll just use an example. You're going to make your own cream at home, right? So you're in your kitchen, you're whipping it all up. That's great. But you're opening and closing that jar, air's getting into it. Maybe you're using your fingers. Maybe you didn't realize, even touching the top of it, right? Or using the spatula. I'm using my spatula though. But are you cleaning your spatula and disinfecting it? And all of a sudden, there's bacterial growth in it. You sometimes don't see that because we think it'll mold. That's not always how bacteria and fungus grow, right? Well, fungus will turn to a mold that can smell off. So now you end up with like a bacterial infection on your face. So not all parabens are bad for you. And not always are they going to be, I guess, chemical. Yes, some are beyond and really, really bad for us for sure. But if it's been in safe quantity, I guess you could say that's what our FDA is all about, is regulating these things, and they're getting better with it. Or find alternatives. Maybe that's what you should be Googling, saying, well, this doesn't work well for me. I'm not happy with this. What's an alternative to this in an ingredient that I can find? Or Google that. And maybe you need to do that as a professional to help guide your clients, like especially when you're dealing with lash enhancing products. There's a lot of growth factors that are not allowed, but you ordered it online somewhere. Mm. And then your client calls you out and says, well, that has that in it, because they're looking. So yeah. I think those are things to consider, but how to navigate that confusion of what is really bad versus good.
And I think that because there's so much out there and there's so much information, like defaulting to what are you working with as a professional and learning your ingredients, go and read the ingredients that are on the creams or the lash products that you're using. If you don't know what it is, Google it and understand, or call your rep, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Understand what each of the ingredients is. You don't have to be a chemist. You don't have to know everything, but be comfortable with what it is that you're working with, so that when somebody says to you, oh, I thought blah, blah, blah is bad, then you can say, but, and you can have an educated response mm-hmm. as why you've chosen to use something that you can trust is safe for your client.
Yeah.
You can use something that's not good for your clients.
Yeah. What's the difference between clean and safe? And explaining that to your clients is really important, that you have to know it's been tested. It's been used. There's a regulatory body for a reason to this. It's not just the trendy. I can get on the trendy stuff, which I won't, but okay. What does that mean? Like, well, a hot topic is the microbiome of the skin.
Yeah.
So really, really start to read into this, you guys. If you're out there listening to this, don't just jump on that, oh, microbiome is so good for skin. Do they really need it? How have you altered your skin? How have they altered their skin that now you got to focus on a microbiome? Like, think your gut health. That's what they've discovered through the foods you've eaten and the things you've had were high sugar contents, things like that. You know, what do you call it? Processed foods and all those things. It's altered your gut. Okay, yeah, that's real. But on their face, have they really altered their pH and their, what do you call it, their acid mantle that much that you got to give them microbiome now? Like, do you really need to? One, you don't have a microscope. You're not doing tests on them. So when you're jumping on these trends, find out what are the signs of altering your microbiome acne. Yeah. You know, like you and I don't have acne, so we don't need to be focusing on microbiome. Like,
yeah. And right? I think like, knowing the trends is good, and you're not going to, I don't know all the trends that are out there. Nobody's going to know all the trends that are out there, but listen to what your clients are talking about, make note of it, and then go look into it so that next time.
I think that's a big part. Yeah.
You come across it, you're able to say, okay, well, I actually looked into that. But I think because there is so much information out there, because there is that fear mongering and the overhyping of ingredients there, it just, everybody's become an expert all of a sudden in everything. And really you're the expert. You're the one who went to school, you got training and education. And so to get ahead of it in a way and know your stuff and know how they work and know your ingredients, and we can put an end to
this misconceptions. Yeah.
Yeah. These ingredient hyping and fear mongering, mm-hmm. which I kind of can't process anymore. It's too mm-hmm. much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
But hopefully 2025 brings us something.
Those trends need to die.
Yeah. And if anyone has any of their own trends that need to die, we'd love to hear it. I'm going to recap ours. So DIY skincare hacks from social media, overdone enhancements, and then fear mongering over ingredients that are labeled as bad, and then overhyping ingredients that are labeled as good or miracle ingredients. But yeah, that's, if I want to hear from some others what they would like to see gone in 2025.
Or adjusted a little bit.
Adjusted, yes. Amazing. All right. Well, we will be back with another episode, and we're in our new rotation in 2025. Episodes will be published on the 1st and the 15th of every month. So our next episode will be on January 15th.
Thanks for listening to Beauty Babble.